All right, you're now tuned in to the Follow Through with Clips and Drew, the True Players Podcast, episode 284. Bradley Beal is on the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul gets sent to the land of the lost and then sent back to the land of champions. Jordan Poole's a Washington Wizard. We got the NBA draft. We have live reactions to what's happening. If Scoop goes to Portland, where is Dame going to go? And who's number 15 jersey should be hanging in the Denver Nuggets rafters. It's the Follow Through with Clips and Drew. Drew, give me that anniversary music. What up, podcast world?
What's up, everybody?
You know what it is. You know where you're at. It's the Follow Through with Clips and Drew, the True Players Podcast, episode 284. This is actually episode 1 for season 7. It's a monumental day, Drew. Not only is it a monumental draft day, but it's a big day for your boys, Clips and Drew. This is our 6-year anniversary. It was 6 years ago today that we picked up a 6-pack of Negra Modelo and a half pint of vodka and traveled out to, we weren't drinking traveling.
What a combo. What a combo that is, by the way. It's disgusting. It should be tequila and Modelo's, obviously.
We rode out to Goldnet Studios in Anaheim and we recorded our first show. Nobody go back and listen to that because it was absolutely horrible.
What a nightmare.
Can't believe we did it. It was very well edited.
Lonzo Ball. It was Lonzo Ball's draft, baby. That's what that was.
It was it was Markelle Fultz going number one. Alonzo 2, I think it was De'Aaron Fox 3.
No, Tatum.
Or no, Tatum was 3. Yeah. And then like that's Lowry Markkanen. It's D Fox. I think Bam Adebayo's in that draft. Anyways, it's a 6-year anniversary. And I have an icy cold Goose Island IPA right here.
Goose Island for you. I love
Goose Island IPA. Compliments of Cafe Mimosa.
Love it.
So I'm cheersing to you to 6 years, bro.
Cheers, brother.
It's a big day for us. I'm gonna take a swig. Tastes great. Season 7. Can't even believe this is happening. So we have a monumental draft day today. We all know who's going number one. It's a little toss-up for 2 and after that, but we're going to get into the draft in a minute. A lot happened this week with trades. I mean, shit, my mind is spinning right now, but we got to start with the catalyst of it all, which is Bradley Beal and the Phoenix Suns. And it was kind of a shock to me, Drew, but I mean, Matt Ishbia being the most aggressive owner that we've been around, he's owned the team for I think 16 days. He has he traded everybody away to get KD. He fires Monty Williams. He gets Bradley Beal. He gets Frank Vogel.
Yep.
And then there's this Bradley Beal trade, and you know, I really want to talk about this because there's two sides of it for me. But the number one side is this: if the ticket for Bradley Beal is going to be Chris Paul, Landry Shamet in a second, you take that deal in a heartbeat. You don't even bat an eye. And the other side,
you're talking about
this,
for Phoenix, you're talking about for Phoenix? Phoenix.
Yeah. Yes. 100%. And the other side of this is why players don't have players don't have no trade clauses in their contract, because this just leaves your team in such a bind. Because when Bradley Beal goes and says, yeah, you can trade me, but I only want to go to Phoenix or Miami, and Miami's not going to take the bait on it, they're not going to give up what they want, Washington has to give you to Phoenix to get any kind of asset back. Mm. So at first glance, yes, great idea. Let's pick up Bradley Beal, worry about everything else. We're going to go all in on this championship year. And just so everybody knows, the Phoenix Suns don't have control of any of their draft picks until 2031, which is wild. So let's talk about what you think first of Bradley Beal signing with the Suns.
I'll be honest, I didn't see the Suns being in play for Bradley Beal. You know, even on the last podcast when we were talking about all the various potential landing spots for Brad Beal, Phoenix was not a team that we brought up, because it just didn't seem like, number one, that's what Phoenix needs. And number two, that Well, we don't know this for sure, but it seemed like there may not have been like a whole plethora of really good deals for the Wizards to take for Bradley Beal. And that goes back to your point about the no trade clause. Maybe there were better options for the Wizards that were just shut down because Brad really identified Phoenix as being the place where he wanted to go. But initial reactions was it was hard for me to believe they traded away Chris Paul, but it's not hard for me to believe that a new owner like Matt Ishbia, who saw pretty much with Chris Paul injured, Devin Booker be a point guard in the postseason last year and succeed at the level that he did with Kevin Durant, even though they fell short and lost to the inevitable champions, the Nuggets. It just didn't seem like Chris Paul would be booted like that for a guy like Brad Beal, who looks, you know, from the exterior to be very similar of a player to Devin Booker.
They're the same player. They have three of almost the same player. Sorry, continue.
Oh, no, but that's kind of that was the first initial reaction was what is Phoenix doing? Like, I understand that Brad Beal is a very good player, and you're 100% correct. They did not have to give up much to get him. So grand scheme, that's a really good deal. But when you look at the ultimate goal for Phoenix in winning a championship, I couldn't see how Brad Beal alone gets you to that threshold, right? We've seen time and time again when teams swing big for three guys, and this has happened with Kevin Durant quite a bit, they don't always find success because the sport is, you know, you have to have five guys on the court at all time. And building out the rest of the team is such a hard task to do when you have all this cap space allocated to just three guys. And in the past, most recent years, those big three teams have failed to make the finals and have failed to win championships. And it's the teams with two superstars, quote unquote superstars, and the rest of the team being strong, three through nine, that win the championship. So I do still think Phoenix is in very much in that conversation right now. If we're looking at what Phoenix looks like, they have Booker and Beal, and I can get past the idea that those two guys are the same player and they can't play together. I think Devin Booker is a very, very good player, can play the point guard, can bring the ball up the floor. His handles under pressure can be a little loose, but when you have Beal and Booker and Kevin Durant, one of those three guys can bring the ball up the floor. So I'm not necessarily worried about that particular part. I think Booker will do well, but I am worried about what the rest of the team is going to look like. And we're back in the same scenario where Phoenix was this last postseason, where, you know, Booker was good, KD was good, Ayton wasn't great, Chris Paul was good, and then he was injured, or Chris Paul was all right and then got injured and wasn't available, and the rest of the guys couldn't keep pace, right? They couldn't stay up with the competition. So this is still the problem that's facing Phoenix now, even though it's a new look and it's exciting and we do have a legitimate big three here. I still think they have a lot of work to do to round this off into a quote unquote championship contender. As it is right now, they have like six total players on their team, so they need to fill out the roster, obviously. But I just think we're looking at most likely another scenario where a team has valued those top three level guys more than they have the entirety of the team.
Yeah, and they're already, with their four players that are under contract, they're already over the threshold. They're already over the cap. You're going to have to, what does this mean? Does this mean Kevin Durant is going to be your best defensive player? Right. Is he going to have to be
Devin
playing
Booker,
30?
Probably your best defensive player, yeah.
Well, is Kate, does this mean KD's going to have to play both ends of the ball, like every single play? Right. Bradley Beal hasn't been used to being the third option on any team. You know what I mean?
And maybe he hasn't been used to playing defense either.
100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you pick up Bradley Beal, but with this no trade clause, it carries over to Phoenix too. So Phoenix can't trade him unless Bradley Beal chooses to go to his next destination. And the money, man, we're talking, when he's 33, he's owed $57 million, right? And you're hoping that KD and Booker are still there, which they probably should be still there, most likely.
Booker for sure will be. Who knows about KD?
Right. And this just adds to the list of players that KD has played with. I mean, name them off, bro. Steph, Kyrie, Harden. Keep going, man. Now we're with Beal and Booker and CP, and he's had all these great opportunities with all these great players, and it hasn't really worked for Kevin to have a big three, right?
It well, hasn't other than Golden yet. State. Golden State that, worked great.
Yeah, that worked. That worked great. They're going to have to rely on getting those and keeping those pieces like the Bismacks and the Jock Landells and bringing Torrey Craig back. I don't see it. I don't think they got like better, like really better as a basketball team. I think you have to take the ticket on Bradley Beal. You pick him up. It's like, I'm sure New York could have thrown Obi and RJ and four picks and something else for them. But, you know, Beal's like, nah, I don't want to go there. These are your two options. And the Heat, like, they kind of wanted to sleep on it. I don't think they wanted to give the whole bag to make that deal happen. So I'm not sold on it yet. I want to see how that's going to work. They are losing CP. And I kind of want to get into that whole thing, because getting traded to Washington would suck. It sucks. Washington is the land of the lost. It is now, basketball purgatory for people. They are the epitome of like a blowing up a team. They're doing it in front of our eyes. We'll get into Porzingis in a minute. But they got Chris Paul, and they were working on rerouting Chris Paul, and there was a lot of Clipper talk. I was indifferent about it. I know that we're in need of a point guard. I don't want to see Chris Paul end up in Washington. I didn't want to see that happen.
Right.
Because for his legacy and for everything else, what a shitty way to go out playing on the Washington Wizards, which I can name three players right now, minus Jordan Poole, which we'll talk about in a second, but Corey Kispert, and who else do they got, dude? Think about it.
Monte Morris.
Yeah, Monte. There we go. That answers the question.
Johnny Davis.
Right.
Let's think.
The whole point is this.
Well, now they have Gallo and the rest of the guys that came through with that other trade and Jordan Poole. But yeah, slowly but surely they're filling out the rest of their roster too.
They have if I read it right, they have it's either 12 or 20 picks coming from Phoenix, so if I'm not mistaken. They have so many second round picks.
I think it's 12, but they had like six second rounders and four first rounders total coming from the deals that they've made thus far. So they're cleaning up the picks, yeah, for sure.
The talk was that they were going to reroute, and Chris Paul was in the conversation to come back to the Clippers. Now, again, I am team Russell Westbrook. I want us to go all in on getting Russ. I know that he'd have to sign for whichever it is, the vet minimum at 3.8, or we can give him 5. I'm not so sure he's going to take a huge pay cut to come back. There's been a lot of Paul George talk as of last night, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a second here, but more of like what happened with Chris Paul. Then out of the blue today, Chris Paul is shipped to Golden State, which, mind you, let me bring this up. 3 days ago, new GM Mike Dunleavy Jr. goes on record saying, look, we expect Jordan Poole to be here for another 4 years. That's what we signed him for. And then 3 days later, he's shipped right back out. He's sent to the land of the lost, to the basketball purgatory in Washington, where he's probably going to thrive. Like, you want to shoot 35 times a night, JP? You got it. But there's so much more to unpack with that, because it's obvious they're trying to choosing Draymond. Probably they're sacrificing that piece that Jordan Poole was last year of like, this is the future of our team. They're sacrificing that to get him out, to bring in a 38-year-old Chris Paul, which I'm happy for that he's going to Golden State. I don't know how that's going to work. There's a lot of running involved, a lot of motion going on in Golden State. I don't know if Chris is coming off the bench. I think he could be a really great mentor to a lot of guys on the teams, but do they really need mentors when you have OGs and vets on your squad like that? Or is this the catalyst of like Golden State's really going to go in on kind of blowing this up a little bit? They said Kuminga's off limits. We're not so sure what's going to happen with Draymond, right? He might, he opted out to test free agency. He's in France with LeBron, his BFF, kicking it. I'm not so sure what's going to happen, but I feel kind of sad for Jordan a little bit, right? Like, I think he's going to be happy. He got his chip. I think he's going to be happy getting all, he's going to be like Bradley Beal was in Washington, right? Getting all the shots that you want. You're going to be the main guy. There's no expectations on your shoulders. You're not winning anything for what looks like another decade, unless you're Joe House. I don't know any Washington Wizards fan. Actually, you know what? Basketopia, one of our followers, he's a big Wizards fan. My bad. He's probably listening to this show right now. But your thoughts on Chris Paul? Because I don't necessarily think that's a great move for Golden State.
Yeah, this one was even more confusing than the Suns moving on from Chris Paul. The Chris Paul Brad Beal trade is what it is, but you can understand that the Suns may be ready to part ways with Chris Paul. He's got $30 million on the books for this year. They don't want to have to pay that. They take a great deal in on their from their perspective on getting a younger player, someone that can definitely help them. So that trade seemed more reasonable, even though I was surprised and I didn't quite understand it. This particular trade for the Golden State Warriors I called them the Warriors. I didn't even call them the Warriors because they have me worried. And that was just a Freudian slip right there. But it's like, why is this the move for the Golden State Warriors? We talked on this last episode about the Terry Rozier and Cody Martin trade from Charlotte. And who knows
if that made way more sense, right?
That to me makes a lot more sense than what it is now. And your first couple questions about, like, is Chris Paul starting? Is he coming off the bench? Are very, very important questions. I don't think you trade for Chris Paul to bring him off the bench. I don't think you do that at this stage in your career and where the Warriors are as well. But it does like kind of limit your options. And I just, for a team like the Warriors that wanted to get Poole off the books and get that money out of there, I can understand, you know, numerically why an expiring contract, albeit it is attached to Chris Paul, is what they bring in exchange for Jordan Poole. I understand that portion of it. You want to clear the books. You want to make more cap space for hopefully re-signing Draymond Green, which it does seem like it is their full-on, their perspective, and their goal is to bring Draymond back for at least another year, even though he did decline his option. But this is just a strange one. Of all the potential options that were probably available to the Warriors, Chris Paul seemed like the maybe not the greatest fit. Now, if you want to spin it from the other side and say, like, why wouldn't the Warriors do this? You get a seasoned veteran point guard leader in Chris Paul, a guy who desperately wants to win a championship, which fits the mentality of the Warriors who desperately want to win another championship with this unit. And in theory, you can have him be the actual point guard. Right, you can have him be the one that is distributing the ball to Steph and Clay as they're coming off screens from Draymond Green. And I do think what this does mean if Draymond comes back is that he's the five, right? They're going to run super small pretty much. I think Draymond becomes the five there. I don't think Chris Paul comes off the bench. So you're looking at CP, Steph, Clay, Wiggins, and Draymond, and that's your starting five.
That's a
super small starting five, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's never really stopped the Warriors in the past from going small. And who knows what other deals will be made here in the coming weeks. So it's potential that they end up getting some other big involved in there. And who knows? Maybe Draymond takes a different – he's a free agent at this point. So maybe he takes an offer that's slid to him that the Warriors can't match. So there is still that possibility of Draymond, you know, doing that. I think the interesting part here to me is, though, it's like if you're going to let – Draymond, if you're not going to sign him to an extension or, you know, not lock him down immediately, why not hold on to that Jordan Poole until you know for sure what Draymond's going to do? You know what I mean? That makes more sense to me, is like, let's wait, let's play the patience game here and let's put some pressure on Draymond Green, who is, you know, a free agent. But at the same time, we have an asset in Jordan Poole that if Draymond decides to say, nope, peace, you know, it was all fun and love, and I'll be back for my retirement to hang up my jersey in the rafters, but I'm going to go somewhere else. Then you still have Jordan Poole and you have a full understanding of where your cap room is. And then you can look at potentially moving Jordan Poole for other assets or just keeping him and trying to add other players to fill Draymond Green's role. It's a weird fit. I'll be just honest. Like you said, the Warriors move the ball fast. Chris Paul does not move that fast anymore, just plain and simple.
And there's no lob threat. There's no big right now for Chris to thrive with. He's always thrived with the
pick
big
and roll. Yeah. There's no pick and roll. I mean, you could do it with Draymond, right? You could have Chris at the top and Draymond setting the screens. But I do also think, like, if Chris is going to be the guy at the top, where does Draymond fit in this offense now? He's always right. The guy at the top of the key making those passes. Mm-hmm. So then he ultimately does become like Kevon Looney now. Now you have shifted Draymond into the Looney role, who will still be on the team and could potentially be in the starting five and you could push CP to the bench or something else if they didn't want to have Chris Paul start. But then it's like, okay, so now you have an even further undersized center who has, you've almost completely eliminated Draymond Green's passing abilities by making him like full-time screen setter, right? Where he doesn't have the ball in his hand to create opportunities and drive to the basket. And the last thing is Chris Paul is not a great three-point shooter, which is, again, you know, Jordan Poole isn't an amazing three-point shooter, but that's one of the skills that he does possess. He's a pretty good three-point shooter, and Chris is not. And so that's the most important thing to me. If Chris and Draymond are going to get into their pick and roll stuff, what is everybody else doing? That means Steph and Clay are just like watching that happen. Are they making some kind of cutting action? And then conversely, when Chris doesn't have the ball, can he be a threat from catch and shoot threes? Can he knock down the corner three? Can he knock down the catch and shoot wing three? Because Steph, you want to have the ball in his hands as much as possible. So this one is confusing. I will just say that there's a chance that Chris doesn't also play for the Warriors, just like he never is going to play for the Wizards. There's a chance that this is just another pit stop for Chris Paul, and that there's another move made here. I don't know how quickly the Warriors can trade a guy that they just traded for in this sense like this, but I think they still can. I just don't know how many times that can happen to a guy where you get traded like Wizards, Warriors, and then like I don't think you can get traded three times this quickly. But
there's got to be some rules, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming there's got to be a rule on that. But who knows? Maybe there is another move here as well. But it brings me back to the Phoenix Suns, because I just want to finish with this. If the Warriors are looking at what the Suns are doing, and they're obviously going to be looking at what the Nuggets are doing, where the Lakers are, where the rest of the West is, and they identify Chris Paul as like the missing piece, then I'm going to assume that they thought this through. So I'm going to go ahead and say that this is a winning organization. Steve Kerr, and you know, they did lose their GM, and they have Mike Dunleavy Jr. there now, but they're not doing this on accident. I am assuming that there's a purpose and a plan in place for this. And I look forward to seeing how that goes. But the Phoenix part that I want to get back to is like, just like how we don't know who's going to be on the Phoenix Suns roster and who the hell is going to play defense on that team. Maybe the Phoenix Suns trade Ayton away to try and get other pieces and fill it out there. And maybe within that, they can get a defensive player, defensive minded player in that organization. I think similarly, the Warriors are obviously going to have some trouble defending. If you know, Draymond is great, and you know, Clay's a step slower. Steph's all right on defense. Wiggins is pretty good when he plays. I think he's a pretty good defender. But if you're going to go that small, that means Chris is going to have to be guarding somebody. So that's the biggest concern I have, is like offensive fit with the Warriors, defensive liability with Chris Paul, and the rest of the lineup if you have everyone out there like we expect. But it is it's a head scratcher for me. I don't get necessarily yet why they got Chris Paul.
Chris Paul says he already spoke with Steph and is excited to help Warriors win games. That's the quote that just popped up on Bleacher Report. And I think you're totally right. There still is this DeAndre Ayton thing, this DeAndre Ayton piece that I think he's going to be happier now that Monty's not there.
Right. And now that Chris Paul's not there.
Chris Paul's not there, but Chris Paul made him really good. He was a perfect point guard for DeAndre Ayton. We don't know the ins and outs of their relationship and whatnot, but he's a very important piece now to this Phoenix team. But there's also, like you said, he could get traded away. And I hate bringing this up because nothing ever comes of it, but there are these pieces in Toronto with Siakam and OG that could be so good. These wings that every one of these NBA teams want. But I've also been reading and hearing a lot of things like people don't even want to deal with Musai anymore. He doesn't, they don't, they say it's like he wants the world for his players. Like they said, it's like trying to squeeze blood out of a rock. It's being that hard. People don't even want to deal with him anymore. So I'm not even buying into any of this Raptors stuff when I think both those players and Siakam and OG would be huge game changers for a lot of teams. I personally think so. It's going to be really interesting. Really interesting I think there's going to be moves made tonight. I think there's going to be moves made like maybe while we're on this show. Oh, I don't know. But like, I thought I want to move on to this Boston thing with Kristaps, because Clippers were involved in that trade yesterday. It was Brogdon.
The initial trade.
The initial trade that got vetoed. But it was Marcus Morris, a second round pick, and I did hear that Amir Coffey was part of that as well.
Yeah.
Going to Washington once again, land of the lost, basketball purgatory, and Clippers received sixth man of the year Brogdon, and Boston receives Kristaps. Another sign that you're blowing up everything in Washington. Kuzma is going to be probably the next one to fall, but you have to pay somebody.
He's a free agent. He's declined his option. He's already a free agent, so he's gone.
He's gone. And my initial thought, getting Brogdon, getting rid of Morris. I love Amir Coffey.
Yeah.
You guys know my feelings about Marcus Morris. Clipper Nation was ecstatic, right? Mm. They're like, oh, Morris is that. They were so mean to Marcus Morris, and I get it. I get it. I had my things to say, but I'm like, cool. It's not the same magnitude, but it's kind of the same thing with Bradley Beal. It's like, okay, we got to give up Marcus Morris in a second to get Brogdon. Okay. I like it. Questionable with the injuries and whatnot. And from whatever reason, it got vetoed towards the end of the evening, because there was a lot of concerns for Brogdon and his injury. And I wasn't mad that it got vetoed. I wasn't mad. I was more feeling for Marcus Morris and Amir Coffey, because they're like, shit, my guys just traded me. I'm ghost. Oh, now I got to come back here. Like, Marcus Morris has to be traded now. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to be stuck in another John Collins situation all over again, where it's just going to be repetitive. Am I getting traded? And I'm not. He needs to go. And now it's written in stone. Marcus Morris needs to go. But on the Clippers side, I actually respect the fact that there was concerns. It's kind of like the same thing why we didn't draft Michael Porter Jr., right? There was a lot of concerns. The Clippers weren't the only team that didn't draft Michael Porter Jr. He was bypassed by a lot of NBA teams.
Yeah, 13 other teams. Or 12, because you guys had back-to-back picks.
God damn. I know. That one still hurts. Don't even want to talk about that. That one still
hurts. On him twice.
We sure did, bro. You know what?
You were the only team to pass on him twice.
Well, you know what? Minnesota Timberwolves passed on Steph twice. Where are you now, Johnny Flynn? Okay.
Flynn's fault. Just like it's not Jerome Robinson's fault that you guys picked him.
I get it. But there were concerns with the injury. And look, I'm looking at it from the Clipper standpoint. We can't have another guy on our team that's just going to be injury prone. It cannot happen. That's why the CP thing wasn't really going to work out either. We can't have another 38-year-old. We need to get younger and better. I liked the fact that we were going for Brogdon. I thought it was a great pickup for us. But if they saw something concerning, then I'm glad we vetoed it and didn't go through with it.
Smart. You don't need another injured player on your roster. Definitely don't need that. And that's his Chris
shooting
Paul,
in the
that's
finals.
Chris Paul and, it's Chris Paul and Brogdon are both very susceptible to injury, as we've seen over their careers. I think it was a smart way to pull out the rug from a trade that looked pretty intriguing all the way around. And then it led to a better trade, I think, ultimately for Memphis, which is weird.
it totally does, and it worked. You know what? But then thinking about it, CP in Memphis would have been great too, because Tyus Jones coming back, like that's a good pickup. If the Warriors finagled Tyus Jones in some way, or for Jordan Poole and some shit, like that would make more sense to me than that. Look, the winner of everything as of today is the Boston Celtics. Okay. Getting Kristaps Porzingis is a huge pickup for them. Now, I'm not talking like Kristaps is the GOAT or anything like that. This dude is 7'3". He had a great season last season, borderline all-star. And they got him, but they had to gut their heart and soul of the team. This is why nobody's safe, man. Nobody is safe. And everybody will tell you Marcus Smart's the heart of the team. That's cool. That's right. But in order to get Kristaps, I think it's a big move for them. Now, we all know that Kristaps can be kind of pouty and gets upset when he doesn't get the rock as much as he wants to. And if you're planning on keeping Jaylen Brown and Tatum, which I think they're planning on doing, there's not a lot of shots that are going to be for Kristaps. What they need from him is you need to play defense, stretch the floor, hit the three when you got it. We're not going to ask you to bang, because we'll be bringing Time Lord to do the banging and Horford to bring the banging. But I think they won this whole trade. Now, on the Memphis side, Marcus Smart might be exactly what Memphis needs right now. Right, it might be perfect for what Memphis needs. A vet, a guy that puts in work, brings his lunch pail every single day. He could be a mentor to the young cats. Does he want to do that at this point in his career? I'm sure he's not happy about it, but it's part of the game. And if he could be the OG for Ja and for Jaren and for the rest of these guys, maybe it'll be like a new chapter in Marcus's career. But as far as I'm concerned, Boston is winning right now.
Yeah, I think Porzingis addresses a lot of the issues that Boston saw in these postseason, in several postseasons, really. Time Lord is another guy who's injury prone a lot, right? So you can't always count on him being there in the postseason. Porzingis obviously has his own injury history as well, but recently has been quite healthy for the last, you know, couple seasons. And then having just an auxiliary five or four that can shoot the ball. Porzingis had a great year shooting last year. He does rebound well and is a decent rim protector, especially when he doesn't have to be the main, you know, ball defender, the on-ball defender. He can come from the weak side and defend the shots. I think this is potentially a legacy-altering move for Kristaps Porzingis, right? Because even when he was drafted by the Knicks and then in Dallas and now Washington, he's never really been in a situation where he's been on a team that's good, a team that like wants to win. And he can pretty much solidify a new chapter, the chapter, like what you're saying, a new chapter in his career. When you look back in the book of the Kristaps Porzingis history, this could be the turning point for this guy, where he now is in a spot where the Celtics, all they want to do is win a championship. And I think he can help them get there. I do. I think he's going to help them a lot. It was even a couple weeks ago, we were saying what a difference Danilo Gallinari would have made for this team, even at his age. What a difference.
Poor Gallo, man. Gallo.
I feel bad for Gallo too. But Kristaps is a younger, taller version of Danilo Gallinari. So I expect that Kristaps Porzingis will fit right in perfectly with this organization. And I think, you know, losing Marcus Smart is going to be a big deal. I think there's a lot of Boston fans that feel excited about getting a guy like Porzingis, but, you know, pretty devastated by the loss of Marcus Smart, the guy that's been the longest tenured Celtic on the team before the trade. He's the one who's been there the longest. And I think that was probably a really, really difficult decision for Brad Stevens and the Celtics to go, okay, fine, we're going to do it. We're going to part ways here. With a guy that has to be beloved. Yeah, everyone. I mean, look, you can hate him for mistakes that he's made on the court, and you can complain about whether or not he's, you know, actually as smart as his last name is. But certainly the guy gave 100% of his effort 100% of the time. And that's pretty much the baseline for any fan base. That's all they want. If they could have five guys giving 100% energy 100% of the time, you're going to see most fans pretty happy, even if there's a loss involved at the end of the year. So Marcus leaving is a big problem, but the Celtics needed to break up those three guards that they had.
Mm-hmm.
They have Derek White, who's really on the rise. And I expect Derek White to be a major part of the Celtics starting lineup next year.
And cheaper.
Yeah, well, sure. And even with Malcolm Brogdon on the team, I do think Derek White needs to be starting more. I think he showed up really well this whole season. And in the postseason, I think he did a good job. He fell off a little bit here and there. But one of those three guys, Smart, Brogdon, White, needed to go. The Celtics did not want to give up White. I think he's the best of the three, and I think they're right in saying so. They did not want to give up Marcus Smart, and they were ready and willing to give up Brogdon, but the injury problems for Brogdon shuts that all down. And so I actually think Memphis is the big winner here, not Boston, because there is a chance that Porzingis gets injured. There's a chance that he doesn't mesh very well, or that he doesn't like his lack of shooting, even though I think he'll get plenty of open looks. I think Memphis is the big winner here, and this harkens back to the Tony Allen trade from way back when in yesteryear, when Tony Allen got traded from the Celtics to Memphis and then just kind of fit right in. It was like he did not miss a beat. I don't think it's going to be that easy for Marcus. Mm-hmm. I think Marcus is actually going to kind of establish, hopefully with Memphis getting Marcus Smart, they're hoping that he can come and establish a culture, a winning culture. Memphis has had some success, limited success in regular season as far as wins go and as far as playoff seedings go, but they've never really had much success in the postseason, as we've seen. Of course, you have Ja Morant suspension, which we haven't talked about yet, but it is 25 games. I'll tip my hat because I guess 24, and I feel pretty good about that. Almost hit it right on the head. But Ja Morant will not be there for the first quarter of the season, right? A little bit more than the first quarter of the season. Now you have Marcus Smart.
For 25 starting, he'll be starting for 25 games.
Locked and loaded, he'll definitely be starting. I think he starts even when Ja Morant comes back because mm-hmm. there's no Dylan Brooks anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to end up with a starting backcourt of Ja Morant and Marcus Smart. And then you still have Bane and Jackson and probably Steven Adams. So I think this is a huge, huge move from Memphis and a very like a win now kind of a move for Memphis. Even though it's a sad thing, a sad parting of the ways for Marcus Smart. If I'm him, I think I'm pretty excited to see like what this can be and be a leader again, right? Like be the actual leader. I know that he was a pretty vocal leader in Boston, but at times, you know, I think when he's barking at Tatum and Brown, they go like, dude, like, can you not bark at me right now? Like, I'm like so much better than you. I don't think he's going to get that pushback from these young kids in Memphis. And clearly what Memphis needs is a veteran leader. We've been calling.
Oh, I think Marcus is going to do the pushing. There's no pushing back. Yes. I think Marcus is going to be the pusher, right? I think if anybody's happy, it's Steven Adams. Like, thank you God for bringing an adult in the room, kind of. I mean, he wears everything on his sleeves, his emotions and whatnot. But the guy, like I said, with the lunch pail, the guy shows up every day and puts the work in every single day. So you're
right. And it's a great replacement for Dylan Brooks. I'll just say that again. Like, he when Ja comes back, Marcus will definitely be starting and he will be taking those Dylan Brooks minutes. Brooks is taller and a little stouter, a little bigger, so he can guard up a little bit better. But Marcus loves to take on those challenges and is still 6'4" or 6'5", whatever he is, and won't be shying away from any defensive challenge that is thrown his way. I think the last thing that I'll say about this, though, is like I think the Warriors should have raced to the table when the Brogdon first iteration of this Porzingis trade broke down with the Clippers. Mm-hmm. If the Golden State Warriors were not on the phone as soon as the tweet went out that said that the deal is collapsed and saying, hey, I got Jordan Poole locked and loaded. The Wizards obviously wanted Jordan Poole. So let's us do this, right? Let's say, fuck you, Memphis. Let's do this. We'll give Jordan Poole. Kristaps can still go to Boston and we get Marcus Smart. That to me seems like a better fit for all people involved from the Warriors side of things. I think Memphis did a very smart move, though.
It does, but like you can't give your heart and soul. The Celtics give it to the team that has taken your soul as far as Golden State goes. You know what I mean? You can't give them another bullet in the chamber for a team that's knocked you out of the finals. I don't know. I think it's tough. I think there's a lot of pride in some of those moves. And I don't think Marcus Smart, I mean, I don't know, bro. I don't know my Marcus Smart, but maybe he's like, dude, I don't want to play for those guys. Those guys kicked my ass and took a title from me. Like, I don't want to play for them. I talk about it all the time about Memphis. Like if anybody embodies what Memphis is as a city and a town, like I know Memphis fans that are extremely happy they're getting Marcus Smart. He's perfect for the town. They're going to love him. They're going to love him there. They're going to love him way more than Dylan Brooks. I know that. But you mentioned something earlier about, you know, you have to get rid of when you got Brogdon and White and all these guys, somebody's got to go. And then when you look at the bigs, though, you're talking to Horford, Time Lord, Porzingis, and obviously Grant Williams and whatnot. Maybe there's more chips that are going to have to fall. Because if Horford and Time Lord and Porzingis, where are all those minutes going to go? You know, and are you going to use Porzingis as the four a lot? I don't know.
That's the answer. I think that's the answer. Jason Tatum has done a great job of becoming a more impactful rebounder, and his numbers prove that, especially this postseason. The guy was rebounding like crazy. But that's a default because he's the second, you know, biggest guy on the floor a lot of the times because he's 6'10". I think he's probably closer to 6'11" these days. He's so long, Tatum is. But I think Porzingis is the four. I think you go, you know, Derek White, Brown, Tatum, Porzingis, and Horford is your starting five. Or maybe Robert Williams snakes in there instead of Horford, but I don't see. I think it's the five that I just mentioned, and then you rotate Horford and Time Lord. Honestly, I think Porzingis will play 35 minutes a game.
I do
maybe
too.
Maybe 37, because Horford needs rest, and Williams continues to get injured. So you want to kind of load management a Time Lord to give him some Time Lord time on the fucking bench because he needs some recuperation. And you don't want him to get injured the postseason. I think it's a spectacular move. They still have Luke Kornet in there as well. Just a random guy, but like
it's a footer. He's a footer.
He's a 7-footer. He can shoot, and I think like he could learn a little bit from Porzingis about spacing and about being his size and trying to be an efficient and effective 3-point shooter when he's out there. I don't think Kornet's going to get a lot of minutes. I'm just going to say that. But
yeah, if anybody loses minutes, it's probably Kornet is losing those minutes.
Kornet's not playing, right? That's just where it is. Kornet's not playing. Blake Griffin's out of there, my guess. Grant Williams out of there. And I do think they will fill it out, right? That's the other side of this, is because there are these missing pieces still for the roster, there's going to be more stuff that they do. And who knows, like you said, that we have the draft starting in like a minute right now. I know that I'm pretty sure Boston has the 24th pick. That was a part of that deal for Kristaps.
25. They got 25.
25. Mm. Okay. So we'll see what they do with that. And there's a chance that that's moved in a package with Brogdon or with, somebody else to get, fill this out a little bit better. But I think if you're a Boston fan, you have to be pretty excited about what this could be for you guys. I just could see very much like just, zapping ourselves back to the Eastern Conference Finals. I could see very much Porzingis affecting that series favorably for the Celtics. And I think that was a piece that they were missing. So they should be happy. And quickly to close back on the Porzingis piece, if I'm Kristaps Porzingis, I'm not going to complain about lack of shooting. I'm just going to fucking do my job. Because this is a, like I said, it's an opportunity for him to turn the page on a legacy that is mostly going to be touted like as this crazy unicorn guy who could never really get across the hump, always injured, never really got into a postseason. This could be career altering for him. And I think he's going to take the chance at it. Also, he is on a contract year, right? He opted into this year. So two things are going in the favor for Kristaps. I want to win a championship. I want to have another huge deal, another 4 or 5 year deal after this. So I expect him to play very, very well next year.
And they plan on extending him. I think that's part of the deal of him being there. They're planning on it. And I think his opt-in is $36 million. That's another big ticket. Like, these numbers are getting crazy. I have a fun fact really fast. You had mentioned Marcus Smart was the longest tenured Celtic. Can you name, Drew, trivia time, the longest tenured Washington Wizard right now?
The longest tenured Washington Wizard on the roster.
This is fun. This one's fun. Makes you jolly.
So you're talking about like currently, like, no Beal and no Porzingis, no Kuzma.
No.
The longest tenured, is it Denny Abdija?
That's who it is. Yeah. Good call, Drew.
Yeah.
Denny is the longest at 22 years old. He's the longest tenure.
3 years.
Washington. I don't know that if that's not the epitome of blowing it up, I don't know what is. I want to address something really quick.
I feel also, hold on. I feel so bad for Shamit, by the way, because I know he was a throw in on the deal for Chris Paul. That guy could never buy a house, period, ever. He needs to wait until he retires, until he buys a house, because that dude has had more location changes. He's coming after Ish Smith. If Shamit doesn't pass Ish Smith in the next couple seasons, he's going to be a very happy man. He just can't stay for
Wham
more than
Bam,
a year
thank anyway. You, Sham is my guy. I'm a big Sham guy. There's Sham God and Sham Guy, and I'm a Sham guy.
Yeah.
I think he got married while he was on the Clippers. His wife is probably so pissed. He's like, dude, can we just make up our mind, please? Is it Brooklyn? Is it Phoenix? Is it Washington? Like, where the hell am I?
She's that pissed. She's still married to an NBA guy, and he went to Wichita State, so anything's better than that.
And there's always, like, this is the thing with Shamit. Shamit will always be a throw-in on these things, because if you can still consistently
– you can shoot.
I'm putting quote – if you can shoot, dude,
I would take him as a Laker. I would take Shamit as
bro,
a Laker.
Bro, bring Shamit back. I agree.
100% I would love Shamit out there.
That's what I'm saying, though, as far as legacy for Chris Paul goes. Yeah. It's like, fuck, you're trading me with Shamit to Washington. Like, it makes it – that's why
it's
I'm so
– brutal.
It's so brutal, bro. It gives me flashbacks of, like – of Akeem in Toronto, and it gives me flashbacks of Patrick Ewing in Seattle. I'm like, this just isn't right. And I want to say something really quick back to Boston fans and Marcus Smart. This shit hurts, right? I've talked about fanhood, and when you really love a team, you get attached to the team, you get attached to the players, you get attached to all of that. You buy their jerseys, you watch them three times a week, you go to their, you know, signings and their meet and greets. I get it. And I remember, I know Marcus might not be as big a stature as Chris Paul, and I brought it up on this show a lot. There's just a time when the tenure is over and you have to move on. And when the Clippers got rid of Chris Paul and Blake, like, that shit was hard, man.
Yeah.
Like, really hard. And in the long run, it really worked out. You know, we got Montrez and Lou Will, and then, like, they started this whole new thing. And maybe if Porzingis is the guy, maybe if he comes in there and they say, look, Kristaps, Chris, we just want you to shoot threes. We want you to hit these open threes, right? You're going to be, and maybe with a threat. Can you do a jab step? Just give them a little threat that you're going to go to the rack and whatnot. We're not going
to
ask you.
He can go to the rack too.
He can go to the rack. The problem with Kristaps is he doesn't like to bang.
No.
He doesn't like to do the 7-3 thing, right? He's a 7-3 center that's a fucking 6-5 shooting guard that thinks he is.
Right.
But there is a lot now. They have a lot of offensive power on that team. So I do want to address something really quick, though, because there's obviously, I think, a lot of things are going to happen with the Clippers tonight. There were some rumors yesterday that the Clippers were gauging, you know, the interest of Paul George, and they're thinking about breaking it up. I think it's bullshit. People hit me up last night, like, what do you think, Clips? And I said, the only thing that makes sense is Dame, right? If it's Dame that we're talking about, I'm willing to consider it. I don't necessarily think, I heard we've been talking to New York. I don't necessarily think that, like, OB and RJ and somebody else, Jericho and some picks, are going to be better for the Clippers, right? I've already said we're invested. We're invested in bringing these guys back. We're too far deep with it now. The Clippers made a post today about their preseason game that they're playing in October, and it's Kawhi and Paul George on the front, and, like, the comments were so crazy. They were so negative. They're like, oh, so they can't play in the playoffs, but they're definitely playing in the preseason, huh? You know, I get it. If there is a huge haul for Paul George, but look, man, we're seeing how soft the market is right now. If you're getting Bradley Beal for CP and Shamit, right, people are off of the Gobert shit. They're off of that. They're off of all of that right now.
Yeah.
So unless it's Dame Lillard, I don't see the Clippers doing, or unless it's like a huge haul, I don't see any of that happening. I think we're going to, I'm pretty sure Marcus Morris is ghost. I'm pretty sure Robert Covington is going to be ghost, even though these are the players, not Marcus, but Rocco specifically. These are the players that you're getting at a cheap ticket to play on your basketball team that are going to provide some kind of value, whether it's defense, offense, three-point shooting, something. Robert Covington is like the Landry Shamet of power forwards and small forwards. Like, anybody will pick up Robert Covington, right, as soon as he hits the wire. So that $16 million price tag for Marcus Morris can bring us back something fairly decent. I still think, like, he might be involved in heading back to Washington, because that's where we're sending everybody. It's just like, all right, go to Washington, we'll send you back. Like, I would love to have, if Kuz isn't available, but I think those are the moves we're going to make. I don't think we're splitting up the boys. And the crazy thing is like, a lot of things are relying on this draft tonight, right now, that's happening right now. If Scoot Henderson, if Portland picks Scoot Henderson, everybody is saying that Dame is ghost and he's going to be out of there because he doesn't want to play with a teenager, blah, blah, blah. Even though, if you're watching Scoot Henderson, this guy is the truth. I think this guy's ready. I've said it on here a lot. So there's two factors involved in here that are kind of funny. Is, well, this isn't funny for Portland fans, but if Portland takes Scoot at 3, Dame's going to be ghost. And the other thing is that 2 pick from Charlotte, where Michael Jordan has the last say in who they pick.
Right. He's still making the pick.
He's still making the pick. And for all intents and purposes, I think he's actually, which is crazy because he's on his way out over there, I think he's going to make the right decision and take Scoot. I do. I think that's what's going to happen. And then Portland will trade that pick or do whatever. I don't think they take Brandon Miller or they draft Brandon Miller and they ship him off. But a lot of things are going to change tonight within the next 2 hours, I think. What do you think about going into the draft? We got to bring this up, though. The Wembo hype, the Wemby hype. I'm still going to call him Wembo. That's our nickname yeah. for him. This kid is everything that we're expecting him to be. I really do. I think he's going to be awesome. There was Brian Windhorst was on Bill Simmons the other day, and he spent a lot of time with Wembo, and the things that he was saying was just awesome. He spoke about him so highly, how he's approached the game the past whatever it's been 7 years. The wingspan they're saying is close to 9 feet. Like, get the fuck out of here. 9 feet. His hand is 12 inches long. Like, I get it. Brian Windhorst specifically said, like, you're going to see this guy block a shot at the rim and go out and probably block the shot at the three in the same play. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for Wembo. It's a big night for these kids, but I think a lot's riding on these 2 and 3 picks, Drew, don't you think?
Yeah, I think Scoot's probably the more ready player. Brandon Miller has a whole lot of baggage, right? So I would be shocked even with that baggage if it's not Scoot and Brandon, right? Like, that's been the recipe pretty much the whole year. Wembo number one, and then, you know, kind of an arm wrestle between those two guys. But Brandon Miller just, I don't know, I don't know what his thought process was, but just like sounded off on the GOAT Michael Jordan when asked about, you know, who he think, you know, but
he said a lot of wild shit, Drew.
He said so many crazy things, bro. I'm like, what is happening? So I, you know, Tate Frazier, a guy that I like a lot, who is a part of the Ringer and used to be on Fox and all that stuff. Huge North Carolina guy, went to UNC Chapel Hill, is a Charlotte Hornets fan, tweeted out, I don't know if that's like the best way to not get drafted by Michael Jordan or the best way to get drafted right. by Michael Jordan is to just right. straight out insult him mm-hmm. in the public media sphere. So if Brandon Miller has it his way, it seems like he won't go to Charlotte and will end up in Portland or somewhere else, which is the craziest thing.
And then Mike takes him out of spite, just out of spite. I'm drafting yeah. you anyways, bitch.
Right. I think that's the funny part is like Michael would go say that. What was that? Okay. Yeah. We're
drafting. See you in practice, bro.
We're drafting this kid right now. Deal's off. I'm not selling the team. My whole mission is this kid right now. Look, the draft, I think we don't need to cover it too much. I think it's a very pretty top heavy draft, as we've discussed. They have the Thompson twins and you know, my guy Anthony Black from Arkansas, a guy that I called
you talked about him for a while.
Day one of the first day I saw him, I brought him up on this podcast and said that's an NBA player right there. So that's the guy that I'm most excited about, other than Wembanyama and Scoot and Brandon, is Anthony Black. He's the fourth as far as talent wise of the guys that I saw on the list. I think he's probably closer to the mid 5 through 10 or even 5 through 15 picks is what I'm hearing. But I don't have a whole, I'm not going to break down all the different draft picks. We can discuss that at a later time. But I am very excited to see Victor Wembanyama hit the floor eventually. He did go on a podcast with JJ Redick as well, which I was able to tune into, and a very well-spoken guy for how young he is. And something that Windhorst talked about with Bill Simmons is his English is good. And I listened to that podcast. His English is good. I can understand everything that he's saying for the most part. I think he's got to work on keeping the microphone close to his mouth, but
he can't hold it, bro. That hand is gigantic.
He needs a giant microphone.
It looks like a toothpick in his hand.
We saw the picture of Wembo after he threw out the baseball at the Yankee Stadium for the first pitch with him holding the baseball in his hand. I said, holy shit, that's crazy. It looked like a golf ball. It kind of looks like when I hold a golf ball, which is, I mean, I don't have the biggest hands or anything. I also don't have the smallest. I'm 6'4". I have, you know, normal size hands. It just was insane to see that image and be like, my brain like couldn't process that it was an actual baseball. Mm-hmm. That was the dude's hand. So obviously a lot is riding on Wembanyama, and the way that I'm going to kind of shift this conversation as the draft is happening, Victor was picked number one overall. As we're talking right now, the pick is in.
I'm on the wrong channel. I'm on NBA TV. What am I doing?
Charlotte is on the clock. There's 3 minutes left. They have not made the pick yet.
What am I doing, Drew?
What I'm gonna shift us into is the potential landing places for Chris Paul that we didn't get to discuss. I'm pissed that it happened right before we got on here because I had all these things drafted up. And the reason I'm bringing this up right now is because I thought that there could have been an unbelievable reunion for Chris Paul in New Orleans. Chris Paul could have gone back to New Orleans, the town that had him there first. The Pelicans are in search for this point guard, right? Some Scoot Henderson or some version of a point guard that they want. I desperately wanted to see Chris Paul go back to the Pelicans in a trade, or if he was bought out by Washington and had his free will to go wherever he wants. I thought that could have been amazing. Obviously, the Clippers and Lakers would have been in consideration. I was going to talk about how amazing he could be for San Antonio, which we brought up on this podcast. I was going to talk about the Miami Heat, who could have had Brad Beal and or Chris Paul and decided to do neither of those things.
Facts.
Both. I think Miami may have missed out there because I think Brad Beal would have been phenomenal playing alongside Jimmy Butler. I also think Chris Paul would have been a pretty big upgrade. You can still bring Gabe Vincent off the bench. It's not going to break the kid's heart to go sit on the bench again after he was doing that his whole career virtually. But anyway, that's what I was going to say. I was fired up to talk about the places that Chris Paul could have landed. And I was thinking that the Pelicans would have been a great storybook ending for Chris.
I literally didn't even think about that. Cause from day one, it was just like, oh, it's Clippers, it's Lakers. He's staying in LA. You know, it's not going to happen. Right. I love that, Drew. And they have the assets and picks and all that shit that they could have traded to get him, you know?
Yeah.
It would have worked. I love that. And I think you're right. In Miami, it would have been nice too. It just seems like Riley didn't want to touch any of that, you know, or he didn't have the time to even consider it. I don't even know. It seems like Miami, they might be waiting on Dame. They might be waiting on this draft tonight.
Yes.
To see if they can still finagle Dame down there.
That's what I want to get into now. Now that I got to at least share my thoughts on where I thought Chris Paul was going to end up before this whole Warriors thing. And who knows, he could end up somewhere else. Like we said before, he could very easily not be on the Warriors at the start of the season, could be anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're about a minute and a half away from Charlotte making the number two pick. That will be very determinant, I think, in the Damian Lillard landscape. If he is going to stay in Portland, all the reports, as you said, point to the fact that he does not want the Portland Trailblazers to make this draft and then start the season with whoever they drafted on the team. They want to use this pick to trade and elevate the rest of the roster. You could see them pairing whoever they draft here with Yusuf Nurkic as some sort of package to, you know, get something back. I don't know what Chicago is going to do. Who knows what Toronto wants to do, but there would have been a path forward for a lot of teams. Detroit has a bunch of players that they could go after. Indiana has a bunch. There's a lot of teams that could be interested in a Yusuf Nurkic and potentially Scoot Henderson or Brandon Miller. I think if Damian Lillard is going to be actually sticking to his guns here for the very first time in his career and actually going to leave the Portland Trailblazers, it's going to be Miami. I don't see another world where it's something other than Miami. I just don't see it happening for Brooklyn, like, because then he's just in Portland, but happens to be New York now. It's the same fucking team, same problems. The Knicks have Jalen Brunson. Makes no sense for those two guys to be the starting backcourt. The pick is in for Charlotte. We're just waiting for the results.
I'm a minute behind you, bro. I don't understand.
Oh my goodness. I'm breaking news here on this.
You're breaking news.
I will see.
It upsets me that you're breaking the news.
The pick is in. We're going to give it another minute here, but I just don't see any other landing point. Maybe the Clippers, as you brought up, if they're going to make a move, the Clippers are going to swing for the fences and go, how about Paul George for Damian Lillard? And, you know, some back and forth there with some extras. That is a possibility, but I just don't see the Clippers fading off of Paul George that way.
I don't either.
Because, you know, for the limited amount of success, the Clippers still broke, you know, into the Western Conference Finals for the very first time with this organization. I know Clipper fans are so short-sighted that they can't really appreciate how good this team is in perspective to what it's been for the entirety of the franchise. But I think sometimes all of us, Lakers fans, Clippers fans, if you're a fan of your team, take a deep breath, right? This is the fun part of the offseason where anything is possible. But you also need to set realistic expectations and look into the framework of the history of the organization before you go, why can't we win a championship? It's fucking hard. It's really fucking hard to win a championship ever. And the Clippers have gotten as close as they've ever gotten in history with that two guys there. And really, Kawhi wasn't even there for the last part of that. So even still proves the point that Paul George still has a lot of value here. So
is the pick in, Drew? Is the pick in?
The pick is not in yet.
Seriously?
They must be on a commercial. We're waiting for it.
I'm looking at some San Antonio dude at half court. Oh, he's got Wembanyama tattooed or faded into his head. Are you watching ABC or on ESPN?
I am on the app, my friend.
Oh my! Oh, you're on the. Oh, that's even smarter. Is that better up to date?
I think it's quicker. Seems to be quicker, obviously, okay, based on what you're saying.
Well, I want us to be live while we see what happens with this number two pick.
The pick is in. Okay, here we go. Brandon Miller, second.
Michael
overall
did it
to the Charlotte Hornets. Brandon Miller, perhaps the greatest mind games ever played from a draft prospect in the history of the NBA. I can't believe it.
Fucking Michael Jordan is doing this again. What is he thinking? What are you thinking, Mike?
Well, so hold on. Let's tie this in, because Brandon Miller, in his comments, the erroneous comments that he made, said that Paul George is his GOAT, a guy that we were just talking about. He thinks Paul George is the quintessential way for a player like himself to play the game of basketball. He's modeled himself after Paul George. Let's talk about what that means for the Hornets real quick. Number one, it means that the Hornets are all in on LaMelo, right? They very easily could have drafted Scoot Henderson and said, okay, LaMelo's going to be on the way out, potentially, right? Mm-hmm. They could have drafted Scoot Henderson and then traded for Zion Williamson, something that we talked about that was floated in the media. Neither of those possibilities came true today. They draft Brandon Miller. The next step for me, inevitably, is trying to get rid of Gordon Hayward, right? You gotta create some more space on that roster for this guy, Brandon Miller, to play. And you don't want to have Gordon Hayward making all that money sitting on your bench. What do you think about the fit for Brandon Miller and the Hornets?
I think it's not a needle pusher at all. You know, They're still terrible. No matter what, they have to clean up the roster. I'm still in shock that Michael Jordan just did that. I really am in shock, because there is something sexy about LaMelo and Scoot in a backcourt. Like that's enticing.
It could be cool.
Look, I understand why Brandon Miller went second. I get it. I understand he's talented and whatnot. I just think, after all the talk, if you've been to any combine and watched Scoot Henderson play, I understand positionally what you just said. They're all in on LaMelo, don't want another point guard or whatnot. But I don't know, man. I think that's look, back to the GOAT talk. That's fine. If you think Paul George is your GOAT, that's cool. I love Mark Jackson, right? I'm not going to say he's the GOAT, but I understand saying he's my GOAT. And Mark Jackson's one of the reasons why, you know, I play the way I play, and I grew up watching him and modeled my game after him. And I think picking Paul George as a player that you want to model your game after is a really good person to model your game after. Paul George is nice, guys. People just always tend to forget how cold and how smooth Paul George is. I had this argument with a dude that participates on our page a lot. I like him. He's got a really great basketball game, knowledge and whatnot. And he's like, is Paul George a top 10 player for you? And I'm like, yes. And I said, honestly, really? Like, well, yeah. I said 12 would be fair. Okay. Top 12 for sure. I have no issue with that. And he's like, I totally disagree with you. And he did his 10, and his last three were Trae Young, Jalen Brunson, and Julius Randle over Paul George. And I'm like, look, man, out of all the players that you mentioned, you have seven of them don't play defense that you have. Paul George is one of the best two-way players, minus Kawhi. And, you know, I guess, I mean, who else do we got, bro? Name a few two-way players. I mean, Joker, we'll give him the defensive end. Embiid is great. Jason Tatum's really good. Giannis is awesome. He's great. Luka is not. Trae Young is not. Julius Randle is not. There's a lot of these guys. So if you ask my opinion, yeah, and maybe there is some Clipper bias in it, but you can't ask a real basketball fan that watches basketball constantly, that can't say when he's healthy, he's not one of the best 10 or 12 players in the NBA. And don't you dare put Trae Young ahead of this guy. I'm sorry, dude.
Or Julius Randle. Or Jalen Brunson.
Thank you. Jalen Brunson
is way better than all three of those guys. It's just about availability, right? That's probably the big
Jalen Brunson has had a really great year and a half. Okay. Yeah. really great year and a half. I don't see all NBA. I don't see, did he make the All-Star team this year? I forgot. I don't know. Did he make it? I don't think he did.
No, I don't think he did. Julius did, though. Julius Randle made it.
Yeah, via alternate, though, correct?
I think so. I think that's how.
Via one of those guys. It's just that's the thing that upsets me most when you talk to basketball fans. Like, why would you say that? Trae Young? Seriously, dude? He didn't even make the All-Star team this year.
Let's bring this back to the actual topic at hand. I know that you love Paul George. Everyone knows you love Paul George. And that guy's erroneous comments will stand the time of history. Like, there's no way in any world at any point in time have any of those three guys been better than Paul George. Thank they you. May be able to play more games, but they're definitely not better. So I actually think Brandon Miller is going to bring something to the table for the Hornets in a way that we can see a lot of Paul George's game in there. If you remember, Paul, even still now, is a very willing passer and not always a guy that's going to take the difficult shot. I actually see Brandon Miller being a very good whole team kind of focused offensive player, not like an ISO, like get me my 20 shots in this game or else I'm feeling upset. So what that could mean for Brandon Miller, though, is that he may not have the big numbers as far as points go in his first season in the NBA. I actually think he's going to spread it out a little bit. He'll get an opportunity. I think he should be starting.
Who else is going to score on the team, Drew?
Well, they have Terry Rozier, they have Gordon Hayward, they have LaMelo Ball, they have Kelly Oubre is still on that team. I think he's still got another year on his contract. They have Martin and Scoot Henderson, just picked by the Portland Trail Blazers.
So Dame's ghost. Is that what it is?
He's selling his house, as we talked about already. So yeah, he doesn't even need to look for another house. He's going to be traded. Is that what you're saying?
Does this mean
right now?
Scoot Henderson and Jimmy Butler are going to be playing together in Miami now? Is that what it means? They're trading Scoot to Miami. So
you
Portland,
Dame, you want Dame in Miami?
Sorry,
right?
Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Let me back up. It's that one IPA. It's 6%. It's a lot.
Might be more than six. It might be
a lot. Goose Island is no joke.
No,
I think this is the right pick for Portland. You 1,000% take Scoot Henderson, no matter what Damian Lillard says or not. You take him. And this is the thing that I don't understand, Drew, is I understand Damian saying, I don't want to play with another teenager. I get it. If you don't want to play with another immature teenager that doesn't want to be there, like this guy has the same work ethic that you have, Dame. Like, I think this guy would, him and Dame would vibe real quick, like real quick. And maybe it could work. Does this make Portland better, a championship contender? I don't think so yet. I think those pieces that you mentioned, maybe the Anfernee Simons, now that you have Scoot coming there, maybe the Anfernee Simons, that Nurkic thing, can work and package into maybe Siakam and somebody else. Again, I'm going to go back to Toronto because these are guys that they need. I think they still have Jeremy Grant under contract, another one of the guys that
he's
would probably
be. He's a free agent now.
Is he a free agent this year? Another guy that's probably going to be look at Scoot's fit, though. Look at the Elvis Presley, the Rhinestone Cowboy. That's my boy's new name. Okay. Oh, he's slugged up, too. Looking good in that Portland. Woo! Scoot Henderson, he's my new Mo Bamba, Drew. He's my new Mo Bamba.
Oh, look at that. It could be your new Jaden Ivey as well.
That story has not been finished yet, Drew. Story has not been finished.
No, I'm just saying that was your guy in the last draft. This is your guy for this draft. That's all.
I think Scoot is a lot of people's guys. I think if we ask 10 of our best minds of that know basketball, if we ask 10 of them on this podcast right now, who would you take at number two? I would be shocked if Scoot doesn't get 80% of those votes at number two. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think in a vacuum, if you weren't like if you were just starting from scratch, you didn't have, you know, point guards or positional players or forwards on your team already. Yes, Scoot, I think, is the second best player in this draft. Mm. But obviously, sometimes teams draft for need more than they draft for talent, which works out in some cases and in other cases doesn't. Look, you know, the draft is such a crapshoot anyway with these guys. You don't know whether or not Scoot or Wembo or Brandon Miller are going to be playing in the league for 5 years. 5 years from now, there's a chance that one of those three guys isn't in the league anymore. It's not
Scoot
likely.
Scoot Henderson will be in the NBA in 5 years. I will guarantee it.
Yeah, I'm just saying in any given draft,
Right.
There's a chance that Anthony Bennett happens. There's a chance that Greg Oden happens, right? Like, it's just one of those things. It's the reality of what this draft is and why it's so fun is, right? There's all the hope in the world on the shoulders of these guys for every team that drafts a new player, especially when you're up high like this and a really pretty talented top end of the draft. But at the same time, there's always going to be an option for it not to work out or someone to get traded.
Scoot's got the cowboy boots on too, bro. He was nicknamed here first. That is the Rhinestone Cowboy. Looking good, man.
I wonder if Lil Nas X would have something to say about that.
He might. Great, dude. Now I have to be a freaking Portland Trailblazer fan.
Well, you might not have to be for long. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with Scoot. We don't know what's going to happen with Damian Lillard. If I'm Damian Lillard, I think I'm going to let me get in the gym with this kid first before I go all out and say, get me out of here or get this kid out of here. Like, let me see what he's got cooking before I just immediately do an about face and
there's
go, okay,
time.
Heading to Miami right now. Like, I think there should be some time here.
You remember when Chris Paul got traded to Phoenix and literally the next day he was in the gym with Devin Booker?
Yeah.
They were working on their shit the next day. That's kind of what I want to see. Like you just said, give this guy, let him run through the gauntlet a minute. Like, can he hang in my workout? You know, how's he play D? What's his grind like?
Well, dude, shake his freaking hand and see what that grip strength looks like, bro. He's got pipes on his arms, man. So
Let me get an evaluation, right? Where's your mindset at? What are you trying to do with me here? Yeah. How can you help me in our championship dreams and whatnot? So I think you're right, Drew. There is time. It doesn't have to happen in the draft tonight to make your decision. And I think the media too is they're the ones that are already saying, look, if they take Scoot, Dame is ghost. We haven't heard Dame say that. All he said is, I don't want to play with teenagers. I get that. That makes complete sense.
Yeah, Scoot's already a two-year pro. So I think, you know, it does point in the direction that they should take a second here before they make this trade, if they are going to make a trade for Dame, like to trade away Dame or Scoot. Let's take a second here, because he's not your average, you know, 19-year-old kid that's done high school and then 1 year of college and only played, you know, 40 games in a season. He's grinded 2 years in the G League and certainly
could've
is
come
already
out too. He
already
could've come
a pro.
Out.
Yeah, he's already a pro. So I think that's enough for the draft coverage. I want to go watch the rest of these picks happen.
I do, Clips, too.
Do you want to get into a final thought that you have, or you want me to go?
I'll say my final thought. It's going to be really quick. I finished the Bill Walton documentary, and I posted it on our page.
Oh, you did? I haven't watched all of it yet. I'm halfway through.
Guys, I want to tell you something. That's one of the best documentaries I've ever, and you know I watch a lot.
Yeah.
That was a four-part series. It was one of the best documentaries I've ever seen, and it'll make you laugh. You will 100% cry at the end. I got chills saying this. Bill Walton is a national treasure, and the one thing I took away from it was, again,
shout out to Portland.
Well, there's a lot to do with Portland up there. They got a bunch of the OGs on there.
Yeah,
a bunch of the OGs, like Lionel Hollins is on there. Yep. They do a big part on Maurice Lucas. That's who Luke Walton was named after, who Maurice Lucas was the fucking baddest ass around. This guy was ready to throw hands at any point of the day. And then when you listen to him talk, he's like, yeah, we played a really good game tonight. Mm-hmm. We're really, really excited to be playing here. Like, mild-mannered, cool-ass dude, RIP. You're going to cry at the end. And I understood why Bill Walton made me cry. It's this guy just loves this game so much.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, because they interview him in like 50 different places in his house. And his house looks like my house right here, just surrounded with memorabilia and cool ass things. And this guy is just a really good soul, man. And his life too, even with the political shit, all the injuries. Drew, they were talking about these injuries. It got to a point where they just kept every one of these surgeries, they just kept shaving back his ankles, shaving back his foot to get these bones to fit, right? Until finally they say, look, if we do this one more time, we're going to take your foot off. Like, we have to take. That's how bad it was for this guy. And you wish that he had the medical team and all what these guys have now, because they didn't. And my final thought on this is, there was so much watching Bill Walton in college, watching Bill Walton in high school, watching Bill Walton when he was thriving in Portland. There's so much Jokic, bro. There is just so much Bill Walton and Jokic with the passing and his mentality, how he plays around the rim. He never took a bad shot, like every, and the way he treated his teammates, it was just something really special. I think it took me 5 hours to watch this whole thing. And what's crazy is everybody that I bring it up to, you included, Comp included, my homie Jerome was down this weekend, stayed for a couple days. He's like, man, my dad would always talk about Bill Walton, right? And that's what you, Jeff Compton, and Rome all said. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a great documentary. Watch it, finish it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the ending of that. And we didn't plan this, but Jokic is actually going to be in my final thought as we see Amen Thompson get drafted 4th overall to the Houston Rockets. Detroit is on the clock now. So my final thought is, the other day, maybe it was yesterday or the day before, it came up on my Instagram that Lou Williams has officially retired. Shout out to Lou Will. What a great career. What a great basketball player he was. But it was an unnecessary announcement, right? It was like a, yeah, I know, we kind of know you're retired. Like, you're
no,
not.
No, I think you have to put your stamp on it.
Do it. With the NBA, you have to, like, you know, remove yourself. There's like an official retired tag that you can always undo, as we've seen players do in the past. But it was a press release nonetheless. And it reminded me that a few weeks back, and maybe even a few months back, Carmelo Anthony also announced his retirement and isn't going to be trying to, you know, stick it out and try and go chase another ring or anything like that with a random team anymore, and coming off the bench and doing what he did for the Lakers and other organizations, Portland Trailblazers. And it brought to my mind the fact that now that Carmelo Anthony is retired, who is going to get the number 15 retired in the Denver Nuggets stadium? Is it Carmelo Anthony? Is it Nikola Jokic? And I would love to hear what you think.
I actually thought about it. I actually have a signed number 15 Carmelo Anthony jersey hanging in the closet.
Showed it to me the other day.
I sure did, yeah, because I'm trying to put him up in the studio. I'm running out of room, Drew. I'm running out of room, at least for the studio. This might have to move out into the bedroom.
More walls, different walls,
This is a good question. It's something that I've actually thought about as well. I think at the end of the day, like, we all know, especially us, maybe the kids, maybe the 21-year-olds, the 23-year-olds don't understand the significance of how good Carmelo Anthony was and still is. He will probably be that guy that will give you buckets until he's 55 years
old. YMCA, baby.
He's one of the night. Like, I was just talking about how nice Paul George is. There is no Paul George without Carmelo Anthony. There's no, like, literally nobody has had better footwork, possibly MJ and Kobe, than Carmelo Anthony. And Kobe would be the first one to tell you, like, T-Mac and Melo were the hardest because they were so big. They shot so well. Carmelo meant so much for the culture. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to 15, I mean, it's got to be the guy that brings the first chip. It has to be. And mm-hmm. I think Nikola being with his personality and the way that the fans have embraced him. I know the fans in Denver love Melo, but as far as I go, Joker brought the first chip, brought the finals MVP. He got him to the place that Denver has never been to before. He was the reason why they've never been there, or the reason why they won the championship.
Right.
So if it came down to it, that's the question. That's what I'm doing. I'm giving it to Joker. And this is the other thing. Joker would be like, I don't fucking care. Like, but let Melo go up there. I'm cool. I'm cool with it. What do you think?
Yeah, this is, I think you're right. I think your logic is correct. I don't think there's much of an argument just based on what Jokic has just done this year. He is a more valuable piece of history to the Denver Nuggets than Carmelo Anthony is. But Carmelo really put that Denver Nuggets team on the map for the first time in a long time. They were doo-doo when I was a young kid. And
they were doo-doo. They had my boy McDice, Robert Pack,
Antonio McDice, after knee surgery.
Mutombo.
Yeah, they were never very good. That's just the truth, right? They had some fun players. Yeah. They had some fun years, but they were never very good for a very long time. Denver Nuggets.
I want to push back. Got to push back on you. They were the only 8 seed to take out the 1 seed in the playoffs. Mutombo laying on the ground. They were a very good basketball team, but I get what you're saying. They were like the Clippers, put it that way, for the last 10 years.
No, they weren't that bad. They were better than the Clippers. But, you know, they were certainly down at the bottom of the West for a lot of that year. And yes, you're right. I'll once it got into the 2000s, they were pretty consistently in the postseason, in and around the postseason. And that had a lot to do with Carmelo Anthony. And they did end up trading him away, of course, famously to the New York Knicks. And I don't even know if Melo would have a preference of where his jersey would be retired. I don't even know if he's going to get a jersey retirement. My guess is he will. But he did have like two very specific long tenures, Denver and New York. And then after that, kind of, you know, it all bounced around and unraveled a little bit for him. So there's a chance that he doesn't get a jersey retired in either place, right? It has to be, if you're only going to do one, I think it's Nikola Jokic. It's not even close. Even if they trade Jokic tomorrow or if he retires tomorrow, or, you know, they trade him to someplace, which is not going to happen. But I'm just saying, even if he doesn't finish his career as a Denver Nugget, he's got to be the one that goes in the Raptors. But there's obviously a way out here. This is not hard. The number 15 is no longer available for the Denver Nuggets forever, right? And you put both of their jerseys up there. You got Melo at 15. You got Jokic at 15. I don't think Jokic is going to throw a fit at that. Melo may not like that as much, but at least he's up there. And at least he can point to his number and say, like, that's me. Because, you know, he was number 7 for the Knicks, right? So, like, that was the other thing that he changed his number. But I think that there's a real chance that both those guys wearing number 15 jerseys are in the Raptors for the Denver Nuggets for eternity. And that number is just completely off the list, which is cool.
I think that's very fair. And I think the question was who gets their jersey retired, right? Like, both of them, Melo deserves to be in the Raptors. No problem. Because, like, if Dan Issel's going to be up there and Mutombo's going to be up there.
Is Mutombo in the Raptors?
He should 100% be up there. I don't know. That's actually a fun fact. Do they even have Raptors? Does every NBA arena?
They have a banner now. They're going to hang a banner, so something's going to go up there. But
I wouldn't know, because I've never hung a jersey anywhere. We don't have jerseys hanging anywhere, so I don't know. Personally,
you guys, the Clippers had to cover up our shit. You guys would put like a thing down, like a sign down to cover up all the Lakers 17 17. Anyway. It's are we at 18? I can't. It's hard to keep count. I don't even remember how many championships.
Shut up, Drew. Don't rub it in.
But anyway, it's an interesting thought exercise. I think Jokic is a more valuable guy. Brought them a championship. You'd have to lean that direction, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see both guys up there at some point.
Let us know what you think. This is our first episode of season 7. It's our 6-year anniversary today. If you're listening to this show and you're not driving, you're at home, crack a brewski for your guys, have a whiskey for Drew, have a nice vodka on ice for your boy Clips. Leave us a review. Shout out to Goose. We saw the new review you just dropped for us. We appreciate that. If people can go on Apple, let us know how you feel. Give us a 5-star rating. We got some YouTube clips coming out. Follow your boy Drew the Right Thing, me at Clips 555. And you know, we're going to be back. We're going to be back shortly. Talk about this draft. Maybe Damian Lillard will be somewhere else. I don't know. It's the follow through with Clips and Drew. We're ghosts.
You know what it is. You know what it is. You know where you're at. This is the follow through with Clips and Drew. What up, podcast world? What up? What up, podcast world? You know what it is. You know where you're at. This is the follow through. Thank you.